These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, as promised, we continue with your phone calls here. Connor in Sandwich on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Connor.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. What do you got?
I just wanted to say, based on this year and next year, I really think Terry Rozier is going to be something special, and I'm completely okay with the Celtics not signing Kyrie long-term.
Because Terry Rozier is going to be comparable.
Yeah, I feel like it would be better to invest in a big man or another wing player instead of Kyrie, because Rozier, I have a good feeling about him.
All right, Connor, can I let you go and you listen through your radio?
Yep.
Okay. Bend over, because here it comes.
I mean, come on, please. This thing that you want to move on from Kyrie Irving because of Terry Rozier. Were you really impressed with his playoff run, especially the Eastern Conference Finals against the Cavaliers, where he had really one good game, Game 6, on the road, which I think was like lightning in a bottle? He was terrible in Game 7, too. Please, move on from him. Sell high on Terry Rozier. If you think he can be a perfect replacement for Kyrie Irving as a shooting guard for this team, you're an idiot.
See, now this is the mentality of the Bridgie fan from a year ago. Because
you can't lose Crowder.
Right, to say it with Irving and Hayward and even Tatum, or Brown for that matter, different. Those guys all have more talent, really, than any of the guys the Celtics let go after last season. All four of them. But Rozier?
Can I play devil's advocate?
Go.
What's better? Kyrie Irving or Terry Rozier and Kawhi Leonard?
I'd still rather have Kyrie Irving.
The second thing.
Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah, the second thing. But that's sort of a different question. To me, the question is... He said big man, didn't he?
He did say big man. So Kawhi's bigger.
I think he did say big man or wing player, for that matter.
Wing player. So, I mean, that's the equation. It's not... No one, not even that guy, I hope, would tell you that Terry Rozier projects as Kyrie Irving. He doesn't.
Oh, I don't know.
But if Kyrie Irving gets you a really good wing player... Is Rozier and a wing player greater than just Kyrie?
If it's Kawhi Leonard and he's engaged, there is your LeBron James stopper.
Right.
We've seen it on the biggest stage, and that way you don't choke in Game 7 against LeBron.
So,
yeah, but Jimmy, the key thing that you said there was if he's engaged. We're also talking about that finals from, 4 years ago now? The guy just shut it down because of a fake injury playing for the best coach in the league. How's that not a giant red flag to stay away from Kawhi?
It is, and I'm giving a break on it because he's shown nothing like that in his career.
Doesn't serve my agenda, Murray, so I'm ignoring it at the moment.
Exactly right.
Look, I just
shut up,
you.
Murray. Go back in your hole.
Shut up.
Google it, Murray.
Shame. Kyrie or Kawhi, I just told you a second ago, I'll take whoever signs. To me, if you said to me, you can have Kawhi Leonard, you can re-sign him and put him with Rozier and keep all your other guys? Fine, I would do that, yes.
Yep. So, but I mean, that's the equation. It's not just one for one. It's what you get for, you're getting something for Kyrie Irving, and you're keeping Rozier. And so, again, Rozier and Kawhi Leonard is greater than just having Kyrie Irving, I think.
I just Kyrie to me is the best player in that group. Keeping him is the priority.
Doyle and Walpole. Go ahead, Doyle.
Hey, what's going on, Felga? I'm just saying that Kyrie saw the potential in the Celtics when he came here. There wasn't a superstar. There was no talent. He wanted to get off with LeBron. And I think that it's being discounted. And I think that LeBron's a bum. And I don't want him.
I understand all of that. How come Kyrie is not being more committal to you?
I think it's probably doubt coming from the Celtics organization about his most recent knee injury. I think it's probably a two-way street, though, because the talks with LeBron probably scare Kyrie.
So, I mean, if he's just reacting to the LeBron thing, I would say grow up, dude. The team's allowed to talk to whoever they want to talk to. You don't control their roster. Now, what, is he just pulling the LeBron thing? I get to control who's on my team?
See, in that league, though, the star player often does. Isn't that pathetic?
Yes.
I mean, I don't like it either. But if you want the star player in that league, more often than not, you have to keep him happy. So, I wonder, though, too, maybe the Hayward thing factors in, too, right? They never get to play together. So maybe he says, you know what, I want to see how it looks for a year. I want to see how Hayward and I mesh, whether or not it really works, and whether Hayward fully comes back from this injury.
So he's noncommittal. He's saying, under your scenario, I got to see how this looks. If you're the Celtics, That doesn't make me feel good.
No, it doesn't.
What if you don't like the way it looks? No. If Kyrie's not committed to you, you've got to think about, I mean, that's one of the reasons you won the Isaiah trade, if you won it, because, well, look, if you're just renting Kyrie for a year or two, and he's, by the way, hurt, doesn't finish year one, how much of a slam dunk win on that trade is that?
Well, I still...
And he just walks for nothing?
No, right. So they didn't give up a ton for him in the end. You know, really, the 8 pick is still the most valuable piece. So I think they would still win the trade. I'd do it for that. I'd do it for the chance for 2 years.
For 1 year?
Two.
Well, he didn't finish one of them.
Okay,
so
one and a half.
For 1.5.
I would.
One.
For the chance
that I don't give you the half. If you don't play in the playoffs, you haven't played.
Okay, but I would still do it for the chance that you could convince him to stay, given what they gave up. Because you're not winning with Isaiah.
Okay, but you agree, though, if he's non-committal, then you have to think about long-term, and you have to think about DeAndre.
Absolutely. No two ways about it.
James in the car. Go ahead, James.
Holding it like a pizza, all right, here's what I'm going to tell all the Boston Green teamers. I'm not even listening to anything you guys are saying. If you guys don't think LeBron James coming to the Celtics doesn't guarantee you at least 2 rings, you guys have lost your mind. First off, all I'm going to say is LeBron's never had a good coach. So he's always praised Brad Stevens constantly, him and Pop. So give it a chance, Green teamers. You guys haven't won anything in years. So why wouldn't you want to guarantee a title?
Okay, good job, really, but I don't trust that you're holding it like a pizza.
I don't either.
You're holding it like a...
He's got weak wrists.
Corn dog or something, I don't know. Yeah, right, that did not stay to your lips. But we got enough of it.
I don't think LeBron wants a good coach.
So, on that.
Are you sure? No, at the end of the day, I'm not sure he really does. Because, again, a good coach is going to want to have control, is going to want to have power. And LeBron would clash with a guy like that. So I can't help but always go back to that thing in Miami when he did the decision and he said Coach Spo is going to stay. Oh, isn't that nice of you, Mr. GM? Like the coach gets to keep his job? Wow, what a good guy you are, you big dink.
Tom,
I hated that.
Tom in the car on Kyrie. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Maz, I love you, but I think you're really wrong about a couple of things here. So the first is, I think you can make a real case that his window is not bigger than LeBron's. He is a player whose effectiveness depends on explosiveness, quickness, and he's got a knee injury. How many great basketball players come back from knee injuries and are truly effective afterwards versus LeBron, who has been healthy for years now and has the kind of game that can adapt even as he slows down? He knows how to post. He knows how to pass. I think you're misreading the situation at that level.
But the health is such a factor. Stephen A. even mentioned it there at the end of the cut that we were playing. The health.
Sure it is. Yeah, and maybe that's a factor for the Celtics, too. Maybe it's a reason why they want to leave the door open. You know, they say they're comfortable with his situation and his health, and that, you know, going back to the surgeries and whatnot. But the reality is when they shut the door and they're all sitting there together and they're talking about it, are they really comfortable? Or are they just saying that to sort of, you know, diminish or dismiss the story publicly? I don't know how you're not. And again, I told you, I'm one of these people with Kyrie's knee that for whatever reason, I gloss over it. And maybe that's injuries in general because of the era we're in and guys being able to recover and all the stuff they can put in their bodies. But when you really think about it, in a lot of ways, that broken kneecap is worse than an ACL.
Why?
I just think that broken kneecap, how often do you hear that? That is so rare. That is so rare. Like, to break your kneecap? And usually guys that do that have knees that are just messed up.
Okay, so broken kneecap sounds horrible. He wants $40 million a year, and he's not committing to you. Should it be shocking if Jimmy's rumbling is right that he's come up in trade talks now?
No, not shocking at all. Not shocking at all.
So I told you, maybe it's just common sense.
No, I gloss over it. I'm telling you, me personally, I gloss over it, but I probably shouldn't. I mean, that is, you know, a busted kneecap.
Okay, we continue with your calls on this. Also going to start to mix in some Patriots. We'll do it now with Clint in Boston. What's your take, Clint?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
Good.
That's just not going to make it, Clint. You can call us back. 617-779-0985. That wasn't close. His comment line said, has Belichick lost the team?
Not yet.
No. I mean, he's lost a guy or two, maybe.
He's only lost a couple of the most important players. He's lost 2 of his most important players. I don't feel he's lost the team.
No, and I need to see even how that manifests itself once they all show up again.
Ah, when's that going to be? And let me dovetail that into a question that I do want to ask, and I'll steal it from Colin Coward. Jimmy was in here. We had the Colin Coward simulcast up on the TV, which is just, again, so creepy because he gives his takes looking at the camera, which is not what you're, which is really creepy when you look at the camera. You know else who does this? Mike Florio. He does a radio show, but it's simulcast, and he looks at the camera when he gives his take. Oh, it's so creepy.
Trying to mesmerize you with this take is what I'm trying to do. Believe in this take.
Clunker.
Clunker. Do you hear me? It is creepy.
Felger and Maz coming up next.
Clunker.
So you, but just don't look at the camera. So anyway.
But Brady's going to play somewhere else the last year, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
Okay, so we had it up. We didn't have the sound up. But what did his little graphic say at the bottom of the screen, Jimmy? Do you remember? It said something like,
does Belichick know the end is near?
Yeah. I thought it said, has Belichick conceded that the Patriots are done? Has Belichick conceded that the Patriots aren't winning?
What does Belichick do next? He's going to retire.
That wasn't from today. That's an oldie.
Right. Today was, has Belichick conceded that the Patriots are done? Essentially. I'll find you the exact graphic when we find it. But it was something along those lines. I'd like to answer that question right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
These players, they worked harder than any team I've ever coached. They came to work every day, and there were no days off. No days off. No days off. No days off. Go Pats!
Our players will be let off today at 2. And part of that is, I think, there are great things that happened last week, having everyone here, and then yesterday they had a team building activity that was really good, and the new young players we have here, the free agents, the whole, I'm excited about this team, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun this year. I understand sometimes people in the media have to work things up a little bit, but I'll just tell you, I and my family are very excited about the upcoming season.
So they've gone from no days off to take the rest of the week. Which is just...
That's quite a...
No days off! No days off! No days off! Go Pats!
Our players will be let off today at 2. And
it's quite a juxtaposition in sound there.
It's just, and you know what? There's still Patriots fans out there who are lopping it right up. It's fine. What's the big deal? You know, like... But they've gone from one thing to the other.
It's amazing how much things have changed in a couple of years, isn't it?
And what, you know, and you just add it all up. And you heard the promo there. Scott Zolak, you know, Pat Patriot himself, telling you that Gronkowski was shopped this offseason. He was. His name came up. And so just like add it to the list in this offseason. You know, how do you feel about this offseason? How does Bill feel about this offseason? What was the question that was asked on that Colin Coward show? Again, what was it? Has Bill conceded that they're done? Something like that. Has Bill conceded that they're not winning this year? Can I answer that question? As much dope as it feels like Colin Coward smokes on a daily basis, always for cock to takes, that one? I think kind of, sort of. I think
Bill is telling you, I've not only hit the turn, I'm on the last couple of holes of this golf course.
Wait, is that today?
No, that's an old one.
Okay. But I don't know. It's like... I think part of the reason they bagged this in is because his best player's not sure. It's a passing camp. OTAs are passing camps. They're called passing. When I covered the team, they were called passing camps. Now they're called OTAs, organized team activities, but it's the same thing. You're in shells and shorts, so you can't practice the running game. You're not blocking. You're not tackling. There's no contact. So it's just passing. And so they're passing camps. This would now be their third week of passing camp, in which the quarterback did not show up for the first two and is now blowing off the third. If you're a coach running a passing camp and your quarterback won't show up to throw the football, what's the point of having a passing camp?
There isn't one.
I mean, there really isn't one. You can get away without a big receiver or a tight end. He's just one of many guys and he knows where to go. But the quarterback is there organizing, synchronizing, getting in the same page, in the same rhythm with the new guys, and it's where it all starts, in passing camp. You need a quarterback for passing camp. And now we get to week three of these passing camps, and Brady's still not there. So what does Bill say? Well, what's the point? I can't have a passing camp if the ball is just rolling around on the ground because my rookie and my 45-year-old backup can't hit a back out of the backfield. There's no point in this. I'm going to Nantucket, smell you at the end of July. So is that Bill conceding that they're not going to do anything in 2016? No. Or 18? So, because they still might. Like, if their league sucks, the conference sucks, and who knows, right? So, like, I doubt that he's giving up. But kind of, sort of, just like, well, if my best guys aren't into it, what is the point? And I need a quarterback to have a passing camp, and he won't show up. So what is the point?
So this is one of the dangers in the whole thing. Like, and I believe that there's some sort of agreement between Belichick and Kraft about how this is all going to end already. And meaning that one more year, Bill gives him one more year, and then he moves on. And that is just such a, for a guy who looks at players, Belichick, looking at people like Gronk and saying, well, if you're not fully committed, why would I give you an extension? I mean, is Belichick fully committed? Like, that, this is the danger of having a quote-unquote lame duck coach, if that's what's going on down there.
Are they all just going through the motions, all of them? Because Brady sure is right now.
Telling you, I don't feel great about, I told you, from the time that this has been going on, I don't know how, I have never felt this uneasy about where the Patriots are internally that I can remember.
How do you feel about their offseason? Give me a grade.
D.
No, you're not just talking player acquisitions.
Answer it however you want.
All of it, Maz.
F.
What's going right?
No, it's been a borderline, like...
I like those first couple of picks. That's why it's not an F for me.
It's been a poop show.
Oh, I hate those first couple of picks.
It's been a complete clown show. From the off-field stuff, and again, the whole thing... This all started with the Super Bowl, with Gronk saying after the game that, oh, geez, I don't know where you heard that, but, you know, that he might be considering retirement, which was all a contract ploy on some level, because I think he was trying to control the trade market and wanted to have some say in where Belichick sent him, if he sent something, if he was going to send him anywhere at all, because he sensed that it was coming to an end between him and Bill. That's what I think. The more I think about it, that's what I think went on. So it started with that. It started with, you know, obviously compounded by the trade of Garoppolo early on. Then they don't draft a quarterback. Then they draft a guard who might be a tackle. They lost Solder. They lost Amendola. They traded Brandon Cooks. Like, all of it. Deion Lewis, if you want to throw that one in there.
Edelman's cheating.
Butler. Edelman got popped.
Their top receiver goes down on a steroid test. Their number one tight end was almost traded, was shopped. They lose Brady's other favorite receiver. They just let him walk out the door in Amendola. A good receiver who was coming on at the end of the year was let go for a draft pick, Brandon Cooks. Oh, their left tackle walked out the door. And who's their left tackle right now? They don't really have one.
They Adrian Waddle.
So there's, like, to say that he wasn't replaced is not exactly right, because someone will fit in there, but they don't know. He, for all intents and purposes, was not replaced with a bona fide, surefire left tackle. They're going to figure out who it is between Trent Brown and Waddle and maybe the rookie, but they don't know. I don't know. Are left tackles important to quarterbacks? Call me crazy. So, their draft, I'm sorry. You draft a running back, you suck or you're stupid. It's one of the two. Or you just had a bad day. I'll go with C for the team, because they don't suck and they're not stupid. They had a bad day. You draft a running back. That's your answer. What a wretched offseason. Wretched. And now they're just taking days off. Now they've gone from no days off to we've reworked it, courtesy of Murray. Murray said it's actually no comma days off. Like, no, give us days off. And then I think we should even go stronger. It's no period, exclamation point, days off. I'm sorry, days off, exclamation point.
Yeah, so no.
Days off! Right, no period. Days off, exclamation point.
More short weeks!
No more championships! No, but honestly, they've gone from no days off to Bill is allowed to work these guys another 4 days. And he said, screw it. We'll go to Fenway and play cornhole one day, and then I'll let them bang in at 2 o'clock the next after another team-building activity, and we're not even going to toss any footballs around, and I'm headed to the Fast Ferry. That's the same level. Like, what? They've gone from no days off to no days off. Again, just Belichick at the podium and Kraft this week. Just play that. Is there a better juxtaposition, Jimmy? You nailed it.
Oh, it's a great point.
Let's hear it again.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli.
Anytime.
These players, they worked harder than any team I've ever coached. They came to work every day, and there were no days off. No days off. No days off. No days off. Go Pats!
Our players will be let off today at 2.
Okay. That's, I mean, you're telling me everything's the same down there? What's going on? So has Bill bailed on the team too strong? Is Bill conceding whatever the fricocked graphic was on Colin Coward? Has he conceded that they're not winning 2018? Too strong. But has something set in with Bill that has set in with his best players?
Which Bill is telling you,
easy.
I've not only hit the turn, I'm on the last couple of holes of this golf course.
I don't know. When the quarterback won't show up for passing camps, never mind your best receiver won't show up for passing camps, and now your best receiver is going to miss the first month because he got popped on a drug test, and who knows what he'll be when he's back because now he can't train the same way, and who knows, maybe he will never be the same. And the owner's going over your head to block trades or force trades.
He and Belichick are not best friends.
And the owner
chased, he doesn't love Belichick.
The guy who's going to take over for you was chased down off the plane as he was going to go take another job, probably given a big raise, and now is brought back to the fold. And again, here we are. We've got another week of passing camps. The quarterback won't show up. Screw it. Screw it. Everybody just see you later. Bang it.
So Brady's going to play somewhere else the last year, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
Okay, so I'm not, you know, I'm just taking Colin's question. I'm not taking his answers. So I don't know. I mean, you tell me what it is.
I'll tell you, you know.
This offseason has sucked.
When you really stop and think about it.
F. Murray.
The fact that Belichick.
No, I like those first two picks.
Would wipe out the end of this OTA really is stunning. I mean, maybe there is. Maybe there's some sort of statement in there. Like, all right, fine. This is how we're going to do it this year. Nope, Tom's going to have the power, so Tom's going to take the time off with anyone I'm taking the time off to.
And I know I will hear that it was predetermined. I know I'm going to hear that. I heard it from Zoe this afternoon. Like that they were already had this in mind. That's why they moved the mandatory stuff to last week, because Bill was going to go easy this week, and that was always in the works. So I know I'm going to get that Patriot pushback, obviously. Let me tell you this. Let me ask you this, Zoe, or anyone else. If Brady wanted to stay and work with the new receivers, what do you think they'd do this week?
They'd be here.
If Brady said, Bill, we're a mess, I want to work with these new guys, let's put in a couple days this week, do you think they'd be playing cornhole yesterday at Fenway?
No.
And then on the boat today?
Instead, Brady gave him another round of cornholing.
Instead, right. The cornholing is going on at Gillette. And Brady with the family, you know, for the family. You know what Brady did yesterday?
Golfed with Nicholson, right?
Golfed. When you want to make nice to your family, Mass, do you go golfing?
No.
Usually an avoidance technique.
That's actually, I call golf the great divider. If you want to get into a fight at home with your wife, go golfing. Because nothing, it's why one of the reasons I quit. You walk in the door, and that look you get, that you know what I'm talking about, that look. And no matter how
dare you have fun.
No matter, not just that, the time it takes, it's 5-6 hours.
It is, it's a haul, yeah.
So you're not just having fun, it's the wife has had to stick with the kids for 5 or 6 hours. And that look you get, oh, you know it, fellas. It's the great divider. When you want to spend more time with your family, do you go golfing? No, that's why golf exists, to get away from the family.
That's right. I go when I want to spend less time with my family.
Of course.
And I go frequently.
You all know exactly what I'm talking about. No matter how cool the wife tries to be, I let him golf. I let him do what he wants. And golf's fine. It's good for him. They try to act cool. When you walk in that door, that look you get, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That look.
In fact, now I'm starting to feel guilty.
And they hand you the child. If there's a small child, they actually hand it to you. And they're spitting hatred.
Oh, so, I get things handed to me, but it's usually not my child.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. So Mr. Family Man wants to spend all this time with the family. He goes golfing.
Oh, I get bent over and spanked.
So, anyway.
It's like listening to Jones.
No period. Days off, exclamation point. That's your 2018 New England Patriots.
What does Belichick do next? He's going to retire.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, mixing in some Patriots thoughts with where we started with Kyrie and the NBA rumors. 617-779-0985. John in Bedford wants to weigh in on the Patriots offseason. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. I just thought that little spiel you just did was a little bit underhanded. I mean, you completely omitted the fact that we got Trent Brown, who Von Miller said was one of the best linemen in the league. And what is he, still like 24 years old? That's huge. We got Jason McCourty, who's going to be great with his brother. I think that's an opinion.
How do you know?
Well, they got chemistry. You don't think Bill Belichick would be able to make Jason McCourty a good defensive back in this league?
Well, he couldn't make Jonathan Batamosi a good defensive back in this league. How could he? What, you think he'd just make everyone a good defensive back
Jason
in this
McCourty's
league?
Jason McCourty's been a good back in this league. He's a veteran.
Yeah, so was Sean Springs. He came here and sucked. Remember him? Or are you a little young for that?
Whatever. Agree to disagree. And then Murray's right. Those two draft picks were great. Sony Michel's going to end up being a good back in this league.
I've hated your offseason. Hated it. And it'd be one thing if I thought you got a functional, useful player in the draft. Said you got a running back and a guard. The guard I'll give hope for. Maybe he can play tackle. And even if he's a good guard, there's some functionality there. But a running back? You've got to be kidding me. Horrible. Never mind you let your existing left tackle, who was really good and worked well with Brady, walk right out the door. You lost your best running back if you care about that position, which I don't, but add it to the list. You let one of Brady's favorite receivers walk out the door. People, I still think Amendola is going to show up more than any other player. You're going to be in a game late, and you're going to have the ball late, and you're not going to come through, and Amendola is going to be one of the reasons. Amendola is the reason you were in the Super Bowl to begin with. That you were porked in that Jacksonville game. Porked with a capital P. And Amendola bailed you out of that game. Brady and Amendola bailed you out of that game. What was it, 3rd and 18 coming out of their own end?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Down 10 points? You know, you don't win that game if Amendola is still not on the roster. That's going to show up. Never mind, it's one of Brady's closest friends and one of his boys. Circle of trust.
I mean, that caller just cracked me up. I'm chuckling because, like, well, Jason McCourty's going to be great with his brother. Like, he says it like it's fact.
Well, no, and Trent Brown, Von Miller said Trent Brown is one of the best offensive line. Trent Brown basically ate himself out of San Francisco.
Trent Brown was available for a 3rd-round pick or not even. Didn't you move down from the 2nd to the 3rd or something like that?
I think it was a 5th-rounder.
No, they sent a 3rd for Trent Brown and a 5th, I think. I was just looking it up.
Either way, they made a million trades with this draft. That's one of the things I hate. They make those first two picks, which I like, and it's trade.
Trent Brown, I have no idea. If he comes through, great. But that's certainly no surefire. I mean, well, anyway, but the most ridiculous comment he made is you don't think Bill Belichick can make him a good defensive back? Do you know how many crappy, useless, awful defensive backs have come through here over the years?
Oh my gosh, they had a million of them,
that
right?
That Bill couldn't do a thing with?
Wheatley, Will Height, remember all those guys?
A zillion of them!
Oh, they were all bad. They went through a stretch of a million of them there that were bad.
If Bill could do that, he could have benched Malcolm Butler and still won the Super Bowl, but everything else he put out there couldn't stop a nosebleed. So that's laughable, that he can just turn a bad defensive back into a good one? Since when?
I mean, the whole thing, really, the whole thing just reeks of, like, I say disarray, that's too strong a term, but transition. The whole thing reeks of transition.
Left tackle, guard. Just think about it as it relates to Brady, if nothing else, and that's the reason you're where you are, is because of him. Left tackle gone, no true replacement. One of his favorite receivers, gone, no true replacement. An emerging dynamic receiver in Brandon Cook. Now, I'm not second-guessing the trade. I thought that was a good trade. I didn't love Brandon Cook, but... Again, I talk about another guy that you don't get through Jacksonville without. That was his best game of the year, and he was getting better as the year went on. Left tackle gone. One of his favorite receivers gone. One of his emerging receivers gone. Best running back gone. Existing favorite receiver busted for PEDs. Best tight end in the game, maybe the history of the game, on the trade block, according to Scott Zolak and others. Okay, still here, but not on the reservation. And if he doesn't have a new contract, is he on the team? Is he going to show up for day one of training camp if they don't give him a new deal?
Good question.
So you still have to cross that bridge with Rob Gronkowski, even though he's in the fold. You still have your quarterback, except now he's just going through the motions. He just does exactly what's asked of him and nothing more. He could have gone a whole nother week of passing camps this week, except he's golfing. So I don't know what's to like about the offseason, unless you like Jason McCourty and Trent Brown, or you're dumb and you like running backs like Murray.
I mean, you know what? You bring up a good thing. You bring up a good thing with Gronk, too.
Sorry, Murray.
Like, the whole idea, if they don't come to the contractual agreement on Gronk, and look, at the end of the day, I think they're going to.
But he's not exactly back yet.
But who's to say that they don't trade him later? Like, what if they can't come to contractual terms, then what?
What if Robert just lets Bill have his way? What if Robert just lets Bill do it? I mean, so there's no guarantees there on Gronkowski. Now, I don't think he's gone. I'm with you. I think they'll figure it out and he'll be here. But I'd have just add another log on the fire. So they have a chance for an extra week of practice to get ready for the season, and Bill blows it off. What more do you need than that? Like, that's like a clincher to me. Like, what, really? What is, so maybe they all, look, I'm not saying it's too late. And maybe it is, but it shouldn't be. You get in a room, you all figure it out. Brady, screw your head on straight, get over it. Everybody suck it up and get over it, whatever it is you're harboring. Give Gronk some money, give Brady some money, and let's go. Like, that can still happen. They just ain't there. Don't tell me they're there. They're still casting about. So, that's on the table, I promise. Back to your phones on the basketball stuff as well. And a long commercial-free segment next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Taking a knee divided the country. What was happening in your own locker room?
Oprah and Tom Brady. Fatherhood, Giselle, and his career.
Have you thought about what happens after football?
Super Soul Sunday, 11 a.m., 10 Central.
Meanwhile, there's that. You can't tell me that you've liked this offseason. You just... You can't.
Yeah, Super Soul Sunday.
That's Brady's sit down with Oprah. The trailer's out. It's just all Oprah. Brady doesn't get a word in edgewise. You're going to, what?
The first part of that is just, if you don't get, like, the douche chills from that. Oh, man. Tom Brady, Oprah Winfrey, together at last. Oh, it's basically what it sounds like. Can I hear just the beginning of it again, Jimmy? Oh, it's just so cringeworthy.
Taking a knee divided the country. What was happening in your own locker room?
Oprah and Tom Brady. Fatherhood, Giselle, and his career.
Oh. Have you thought about what happens after football?
Super Soul Sunday, 11 a.m., 10 Central.
Super Soul Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What is he doing?
Yeah, I'm calling some friends up. We're having a Super Soul party. I'm selling squares.
Seriously, it's like, I mean, you know one of Bill Belichick's most famous quotes? And I tried to find the story it was written, because I know when I covered him, he said this all the time. And he said it many times in the past. And I think this quote actually comes from a Tom Kern story for the Providence Journal in 2004, which sounds right. But one of Belichick's big off-season sayings, one of his big core philosophies, is there are no shortcuts to building a team each season. You build the foundation brick by brick. No shortcuts. No shortcuts. No days off. No shortcuts. Do your job. Like, that's the team. That's the basis. That's the Patriot way. Now we're playing cornhole, banging in a full week of practice, and the quarterback, who the hell knows where he is, but it ain't here. It's actually with Oprah on a soul-searching Sunday.
Yeah, Felger, he's been to 8 Super Bowls and 1 Super Soul.
And is that supposed to be like the gong that they play at the end of a yoga class, too?
I don't know what that... Oh, God. Probably. Probably that makes perfect sense. The Brady-Oprah sit-down. And I love the thing. So, like, I've been reluctant to do the Brady, bashing Brady for the family excuse. Because maybe it is for his family, or maybe he's got something going on with his kids, or something that we just don't know. Like, I'm leaving that possibility open. I still am. But...
Super Soul Sunday.
I am just telling you.
Taking a knee divided the country. What was happening in your own locker room?
Oprah and Tom Brady.
Oprah.
So, wait, you think Brady's going to answer that, by the way?
No.
Like, what, we're talking about kneeling with Brady for 20 minutes?
He wouldn't even mention her by name when he was with Jim Gray. He had to talk him into it, remember that?
I vey. But anyway, this thing about time with the family, time with the family, time with the family, and then he goes golfing. There is nothing that divides a family more than golf. It is the great divider. It is. You are almost better off cheating on your wife than golfing. Like, it's 1 and 1A. You know I'm right, guys who golf. You know it.
I might have to reassess some things.
How much, like, just, you know what it causes inside your house. So then you end up getting up at 6 in the morning on Saturday, so you could do it in 3 hours, so she's not just staring bullets at you all weekend long, so you can maybe prayer to get it in.
Six.
In 3 or 4 hours.
Try 5 o'clock.
Right, you get up at the ass crack of dawn to get this golf in because you've got to do it, and you just don't want the death stare from your wife when you get home and her tossing children in your lap like, now it's your turn, a-hole. Like, you know what golf does to a family. It destroys them because the gals can't handle it. It's one of the worst things you can do. If you want to patch things up with your family, be good to your wife and be good to your family, the last thing in the world you do is go golfing. The last. And Brady, what's Mr. Family Man doing? Golfing.
Yeah, honey, I'm going to go golfing on Sunday, and then I need you to take the kids later, too, because I got to watch the Super Soul.
It's like, oh, God. So, you know, Mr. No Days Off, Mr. There Are No Shortcuts, gives them the whole week. You know, what's up with that? I think part of it might be exasperation. When my quarterback's not going to show up for passing camp, what is the point of a passing camp? I need someone to deliver the ball. And the two Jamokes I've got behind him can't even hit the running back out of the backfield. So what are we doing here? Bang it in. See you in late July. I wonder if that's part of it with Belichick. Here's Ben Volen. He writes this today, I guess, or for tomorrow's paper. He says, so again, all of this. Has Belichick made football, dare we say it, fun again? Is this all a part of Belichick changing his ways and making things fun for the Patriots? He says the answer is that the barrage of Patriots are all work and no fun accusations this offseason were a bit overblown. However, nothing happens by accident in Foxborough. And after a contentious spring between the organization and Brady and Gronkowski, and continual accusations that the Patriots have a miserable working environment, the events of the last week sure seem like Kraft and Belichick extending olive branches to their star players. So again, instead of practice this week, they go cornholing at Fenway, and then Bill gives them the rest of the week off. Is that a sign? Is that Bill trying to change his ways for the players, loosening up, lightening up?
I mean, I have a hard time believing that.
If he is, that sucks.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing it.
If he is, it's a mistake. You can't change who you are. And if you do, players see right through it, and it doesn't work. It never works. And it's usually coaches going in the other direction, like when Pete Carroll tried to act tough. The famous example in Patriots history is Ray Barry, who is such a sweet guy by his football coaches go and such a player's coach, got sick of hearing it that in his last year, he decided to play all his starters in this preseason game and they all got hurt. And it submarined the season because Ray Barry was trying to be a hard ass. He was trying to be tough because he got sick of hearing about how he was too soft on his players. So he played Tippett and Lippett and a couple of these guys, big starters, in the preseason, they all got hurt. And that ruined the season. Is Bill doing it the opposite? Is Bill saying, oh, I'm sick of Lane Johnson, I'm sick of hearing all this stuff about have no fun. Instead, you know what we're doing? We're going cornholing, and you can take the rest of the week off. That's just as dumb as Ray Barry playing his players in the preseason because he's trying to be a tough guy.
I mean, the only occasion, I can think of an occasion, though, where a coach softening up a little did work.
And they always say Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, Coughlin with the Giants before 07. I mean, Coughlin with the Giants, you know, his job was in jeopardy there, and he said, all right, fine, I'll back off a little bit. And they ended up winning 2 Super Bowls in 5 years. So, now look, I
want Bill backing off. I don't want the team backing off. They don't back. There's no shortcuts to building a team, Bill. You said it yourself. One of your most famous quotes.
What if he's backing off because ultimately he's checked out?
So, again, that's checking out is probably too strong, but something along the lines of, oh, this ain't happening. You know, it's just not happening. So why butt my head against the wall in the middle of June?
Yeah, but when I say checked out, I mean that maybe this is it. Maybe this coming season is it. And again, there's an agreement there with Kraft that I'm giving you one more year. And so Bill says, come on, you know, what am I going to do now? Brady's not showing up. Am I really going to lose my mind in this last season when I'm already out of here no matter what? So we'll show up. Maybe we'll go 11-5. We'll lose in the division round. Or maybe we'll lose in the AFC Championship game and we'll see what happens.
There are no shortcuts to building a team each season. You build the foundation brick by brick. At no point there does he mention cornholing at Fenway. At no point is that part of the team building process that I know of. So, again, I'm sorry to keep ranting on this, but like I just find it outrageous. I find a lot of it outrageous and glaring. And I don't know how it doesn't impact the team in some way, shape, or form. And now there's the Gronkowski thing on top of it. How real was the Gronkowski thing? Because Robert Kraft makes a point, you know, of going out and denying the specific rumor yesterday. Is there a reason for that, Maz? Is there a reason he goes out and specific, you know, they'll deny things in their own way, you know, through media leaks or deny broad things. But, well, you know, he went out and denied a specific thing and made a point of it in a charity event in honor of his former wife, his late wife, I mean to say. So, like, is there a reason behind that?
Well, so look, you said yesterday it's the third rail, and I think it's an important distinction to make for Kraft, too. He lived it with Parcells. He doesn't want to live it again. The idea that he is meddled into business. I also just wonder about the relationship between Bill and Kraft and the sort of the politicking going on behind the scenes as it pertains to Garoppolo. Like, and this, because I think there's a similar story there, obviously, the owner intervening and forcing his way onto the coach who wants to do it a different way. And if that is happening, well, then you start wondering about leaks between the two of those guys. I mean, I do. I wonder whether there's a little political game going on there.
So Maz will have more on that. He's got more on that sort of facet to the story. But how real were the Gronkowski things? Let's pick that up right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.